Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Do you sometimes feel like God has turned away from you? David did, but he chose to praise and worship God anyway, and he made a plea for God to graciously intervene in his life again. As the Lord promised through Malachi, "Return unto me, and I will return unto you." Please open your Bible to Psalm 30, verse 8, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola continues his study.
Verse 8, "I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication." And I began to think as I'm reading through the Psalms, like perhaps you are, and I begin to, if I don't actually circle it or underline it in my Bible, in my mind, I do, the passion, the emotion of David. I mean, his passions go from mountain peaks to valleys. That's normal. That's normal. I wonder if David lived today, what would they do? Tell him, "I think you should go see a doctor. One day, your favor makes me stand." Or, you know, "One moment, your favor makes me stand," and this and that. And David's just got normal emotions like you and I. And yet he knew where his strength came from. He knew where his hope came from. He says, "I've cried unto the Lord." You've done that. You may have done that today. Maybe a few times. "I cried unto the Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication." And he says, "What profit is there in my blood? When I go down to the pit, shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare your truth?" In other words, God, if I'm in the pit, What good is that? You've created me to praise you. You've created me to redeem you. And so he cries out. Now, mind you, he has foes. He has enemies, not singular, not one, many. He says, "Hear, O Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper." And then he remembers. He remembers, "Yes, you have helped me, Lord." The Lord's helped you, hasn't he? He's helped me. He's helped us. We've been in pits. We've had enemies. We've had foes. We've had trials. We've had troubles. We've cried out to the Lord, and he's helped us. He's a very present help in time of trouble. And then he says, "You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off or unfastened my sackcloth," something that is associated with grief, "and girded me with gladness," dancing. Can you imagine? It's in the Bible. Dancing. In the Jewish tradition, dancing is a very important part, often used as a form of worship. It's seen in Psalm 149, verse 3, Psalm 150, verse 4. "Lord, you've turned for me my mourning," that night season. "You've turned for me my mourning into dancing. You've taken off my sackcloth. You've girded me with gladness to the end that my glory," that means my heart and everything glorious within me, "to this end that it may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever." And you and I are going to give thanks to the Lord forever. You know that? You see, because for us, death is not the end. Well, death is not the end for anyone, saved or unsaved. We will give praise to the Lord forever. Matthew Henry said, "Our tongue is our glory, and never more so than when employed in praising God." And you know what's so beautiful about having this relationship with God? Is that we can sing in a car. We can sing on the exercise bike. We can praise him anywhere. And worship him. And to him, it is so precious. The Bible says praise is beautiful to God. It's beautiful. Just giving him thanks. Acknowledging his holiness. I love it. "Oh Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. You've turned my mourning into dancing. You've unshackled my sackcloth." Pastor Chuck Smith said this, "I think the Psalms ought to be lived out. When you are reading through the Psalms and David says, "Sing unto the Lord, O you saints of His," I think you ought to just stop and sing. He says, and when he says, "Give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness," I think you ought to just stop and give thanks to the Lord, for He is holy. And he says, whenever you find an exhortation, follow it. And I love this. And you will find that the Psalms really become meaningful to you. And they do. As you follow the exhortations of the Psalms, it's a blessed experience. When you are encouraged to do something, do it. And you will really be blessed. So when you're going through the Psalms, you've turned my mourning into dancing. You just dance. Just dance. Dance unto the Lord. When it says, if cried unto the Lord. Now, if you're married and you're an early riser and your spouse is not an early riser, I would recommend probably that you would refrain from shouting real loud. You don't want to disturb them, because the Lord does give His beloved sleep. But when God just living out the Psalms, Lord, I thank You for Your holiness tonight. I thank You that You are holy. I thank You, Lord, that You call me, You call us Your beloved. You call us Your people. I thank You, Lord, that You're the one that delivers us out of the pits. I thank You, Lord, that even though there may be mourning tonight, or there may be weeping tonight, that mourning is coming. And here's David. And no doubt when he's doing this, he's encouraging himself. I think that that's one of the greatest disciplines in the Christian life, to learn how to encourage yourself. Now, the world may say you're crazy, but it's biblical. When David brought his men back from a battle to the city of Ziklag, and the enemies had taken the city, burned it down, taken the women, taken the children, taken everything away. Even David's friends turned against him. But it says I think it's 1 Samuel 30, chapter 6, something like that. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. Do you know how to encourage yourself in the Lord? We all need to know how to encourage ourselves in the Lord. To speak to ourselves. I think it was D. Martin Lloyd-Jones that says, we ought to be speaking to ourselves more than listening to ourselves. Like the psalm began, I will extol thee. Well, I don't feel like extolling thee. Yeah, you're going to extol the Lord tonight. Just speak to yourself. Command yourself. I'm going to dance to the Lord tonight. I'm going to thank Him tonight. You see, so many times we listen to ourselves. That's not a good thing to do. And going through the Psalms, just following what Pastor Chuck was saying here. Just follow the Psalms. Let them be that guide. And how edifying it is. How edifying it is. Psalm 31. To the chief musician. A psalm of David. It's a lament when David was seeking help amidst persecution. Persecution's mentioned in verse 4, verse 8, verse 13, verse 15, verse 18, verse 20. Again, you see David, the kind of life that he had. The ups, the downs, the joys, the sorrows, the spiritual warfare that he went through. It's a prayer for deliverance at a time when David was confronted by a conspiracy that was so powerful that even those closest to him, like Ahithophel, wanted to abandon him. The Preach the Word commentary series says, in Psalm 31, David is confident that God loves him and is protecting him, even though he is in deep trouble. David is facing a staggering list of dangers and hardships. Listen to this. Combat, hidden traps, betrayal, psychological depression, friends rejecting him, threats on his life, persecutions, lies, plots against him, being caught in a siege. And yet he has this confidence in God. He has this confidence of God. So he begins in verse 1 with these words, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Trust means seeking refuge. Never let me be ashamed. Now, being ashamed is something that is an inward emotion. This shame speaks of public disgrace, public shame. Oh, Lord, let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Trust. Trust. Did you know that the central verse of all of Scripture is Psalm, how we record it, Psalm 118, verse 8. You know what it is? It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Isn't it interesting? The very central verse in the Bible. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in myself. See, sometimes when you and I are reading the Bible, I say, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence and say, no offense, you guys are in the front row, than to put confidence in Jose, or Jose putting confidence in me, or me putting confidence in Tony, and vice versa. Now, consider this. It is better to trust in the Lord than trust yourself. It is better to trust in the Lord than to have confidence in yourself. I'm going to trust you, Lord. That doesn't mean it's better to trust in Him because you're the only trustworthy one on the planet. No, sometimes I've been my worst enemy. I've followed my own unwise counsel. Trusting in the Lord. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And you know the rest of it. And lean not on your own understanding. In half of your ways, acknowledge Him. No, in all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. What does that mean? Listen to the Lord. Renew your mind with the Word of God. David says, in Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. And I have no doubt that David is speaking to himself, because there was many times when David didn't trust in the Lord. When David defied the counsel of God. And every time he did, and every time you do, and every time I do, that's how you create a mess. That's how you create a problem. When David didn't consult the Word of God, when he should have gone out fighting with the army, and he stayed back for a little bit of R&R, you know what happened. He trusted in his own heart instead of listening to the Word of God. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Trust. Confidence in the Lord. Lord, give us that trust tonight. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're wrestling with, trust in Him. Don't trust in your emotions. Don't trust in your feelings. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. He loves you. You know that? You believe that? He loves you dearly. When God says to you and me, trust me, you know what He's saying lovingly? He's saying, Raymond, don't trust yourself. You're going to turn one problem into two. You're going to make matters worse. Trust me with all your heart. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for a house of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me, guide me. How many times in this scripture do we find David speaking of God as being his rock or his fortress? It's the picture of stability, a picture of solidness, a picture of security. And speaking of God as a rock, you and I need to be thinking of Him as being a place of defense, a fortress. You've seen those movies where they have these fortresses up on a hill, and inside this solid fortress are people. Jesus Christ, God is your rock. God is your fortress tonight. I said that to encourage you. A place of defense, a place of security. You're in Christ. You are hidden in Christ. He is your rock. He is your fortress. And I love it how David asked the Lord to lead him and guide him for His name's sake. That is like you and I praying, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Lead us. Guide us. Now, to me, these verses are interesting because David asked God to be what He already is. Isn't that interesting? He asked God to be his rock. The Bible says, I am your rock. He asked God to be his fortress. But God says, I am your fortress. He asked God to be his refuge. But he is our refuge. And you know what he's doing? He's speaking to himself. He's encouraging himself. You ever been there? Lord, you're my rock. You're my fortress. You're my strength. You're my shield. You're my shepherd. It works. You see, you could talk yourself into depression and you could talk yourself out of depression. You can talk yourself into discouragement. You can talk yourself out of discouragement. I'm not talking about positive confession. I'm talking about God-centered, Scripture-centered acknowledgement. Lord, you're my rock. You're my fortress. You're my refuge. You're my deliverance. You're the one that turns for me my mourning into dancing. I mean, I'm encouraging myself as I'm talking to you guys. Because it works. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It doesn't mean so. No, I'm a redeemed of the Lord. Acknowledge it, declare it, speak it. It's true. Hello? He's just acknowledging what God said. And how many times at the end does the enemy want? Did God really say that? Remember the first lie? Did God really say that? Is he really your shepherd? Did God really say he's your shepherd? Did God really say that he's your strong tower? Did God really say that? Yes, he did. And sometimes the time to say it is when you don't feel like saying it, when you're in the pit, when you're being overwhelmed, when you're being discouraged, when the enemy comes in like a flood, take out the promises of God and begin to speak them with all of your heart because they are true. I just saved you guys like $100 of counseling for an hour. You could sit on the couch and lie down and say, well, tell me what's wrong with you. You know, the Lord is the wonderful counselor. And he counsels us with his word. And David's just acknowledging. He is just acknowledging what God has declared. You know, confession means to say the same thing. You and I, when we think of confession, we normally think of if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God. But you know, to confess means to agree with God. That works in the good end too. I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Lord will bless his people with peace. The people of God shall be strong and do exploits. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper, saith the Lord. Just acknowledging what God says. Amen? And then he acknowledges what God says, and then he says, pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for you are my strength. That word strength there, beloved, means stronghold. Stronghold. It says in the book of, I believe it's Nahum. Let me see. Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. I love this. Write it down. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows them that trust in him. The Lord is good. And then he mentions trouble. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. You see, we usually say, God, you're good when there is no trouble. But he's good, even when there is trouble. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows them to trust in him. He knows you're trusting in him. He's good. He's good. The net was a military weapon that was used to capture prisoners. And David asked God to pull him out of the net that was set by those who were against him and opposed him. And then in verse 5, this should ring a bell to you. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Sound familiar? Luke 23:46. When Jesus Christ was broken on the cross and insulted by his enemies, he took up the prayer of this psalm and he offered it to his Father. Isn't it something? Even Jesus, this is what I've been saying. Even as Son of Man, who emptied himself, would often quote or refer to the word of God, a messianic psalm. There he is on the cross. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. And from his whole life, our precious Lord's whole life, from Mary's womb to the cross, was a model of what? Submission to God's sovereign will. Lord, I commit myself to you. You've redeemed me. I belong to you. Remember in Acts chapter 7, verse 59, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God. And Stephen said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. I was reading this account of John Huss. John Huss was one of the prominent early Protestant Reformation men. And he lived about 100 years before Martin Luther. And he was put to death, history records tell us, by the Council of Constance. And if you can read about that whole trial and everything. But it ended up like this. Quote, as he was condemned to death, the bishop who conducted the ceremony ended with the chilling words. Listen to this. And now we commit my soul to the devil. Huss replied calmly, I commit my spirit into thy hands, Lord Jesus Christ. Unto thee I commit my spirit, which you have redeemed. That's when he is paying the ultimate price for following Jesus' death. You know, and I can't speak for you, but we're all growing in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I know myself that it is very easy to say that I have faith in God. Oh, Lord, I am fully committed to you. And then he'll say, okay, there's a test. There's an enemy. Yeah? Love him. Huh? Can I have another test? Into thy hand, Lord, I commit my spirit, my circumstances. Well, think of the option. Lord, you can step aside. I'll take care of this. How's that worked out for you? That ever worked out good for you? Uh-oh. Lord, I'll take care of it. Into thy hand I commit this. I'm trusting you. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. And to live by faith means that you surrender the right to have to understand everything. Lord, I commit myself to you. I commit this situation to you. I commit it to you. Yes, I'm committed to prayer. I'm committed to do what is right, but I'm trusting you, Lord. And Jesus, the Son of Man, on the cross, uttered these same words. Verse 6, I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. Notice the contrast. Lying vanities, the false gods, the pagan gods. David says, that's not where I want to be. Lord, I'm trusting. I'm confidently leaning upon you. I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy. That speaks of God's steadfast love. For you have considered my trouble. The Hebrew word for trouble is, Lord, you know. You know better than anybody the misery that I'm in, the deep distress that I'm in. You have well known, that's what it means, my soul in adversities. You know what David is saying here? David is saying here that he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, even though he was crying out to God for help, he deep down inside knew how God identified with David in his most difficult times. That's why David was able to sing for joy, because he knew that God loved him with a covenant kind of love. You have known my soul in adversities. He knows what you're going through, why you're going through it, and he promises to be there with you. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless his holy, his wonderful.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.